Welcome to the Building Your Dream Career podcast with 3Skills co-founders, Toby, Josh, Marianne, and Anissa.
So welcome, Jermaine. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Everyone, this is Jermaine L. Murray. He is a career coach and technical recruiter. And today we're going to be talking about networking. So as soon as we jumped on this call, we kind of started going into it, where I kind of lean more towards the term building relationships over networking, but I feel like you had an awesome point to make. So how about we get started? You can introduce yourself, say hi, and just kind of give us your thoughts on the differences between the two.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jermaine L. Murray. Online, you might know me as Jermaine Jupiter or the Job Father. I did not give myself that name. I am a technical recruiter for Wealthsimple and a career coach for Jupiter HR, my own organization. We specialize in helping Black folks find new jobs in tech. Our goal right now is to hit 500 Black people helped. We're at 295. And to follow up on Marianne's point, we were talking about the differences between relationships and networking, and she said that they are two distinct things. And in my opinion, they're one and the same, because in order to effectively network, you have to be able to build a relationship. That's something that can or should be done in one conversation. To effectively network is to, you know, have to build a rapport and have somebody emotionally invested in you and your success, so that you're top of mind when they're in rooms that are, where your name being spoken of that you're not in. It's always great to have that relationship to fall back on. And I'm like, you always want to build those relationships off of stuff that has nothing to do with work. So yeah. Video games, anime, sports, those are great topics to build rapport and network about.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like we all have like this idea that networking happens in person, or that it's very like transactional. But I agree with that part. Like, in order to successfully network, like, you have to be able to build relationships. You have to be able to connect on personal, on work, on different experiences. So no, I love that point. And you're right. You need one to get to the other, and they basically like end up being the same when done correctly. So now that we are and have been for almost like 2 years with this COVID pandemic, I feel like a lot of events have now transitioned online. And I'm curious to know like your thoughts on like pros and cons of being in this like digital networking era.
Yeah, you know what? It was really difficult for me, because before the pandemic, I was the type of person that would go to like 4 networking events per month.
Same.
You know that's the lifeblood of the recruitment, yeah. Right? So with the whole digital age, it kind of, at first it was awkward, because, you know, people are getting used to the setup, and like, how do you like read body language, you know, through a screen, and how do you build like proper relationships? Funny thing is, 2 years into the pandemic, I'm on my third employer, and I haven't met, except for like one person, I haven't met any of my teammates in person. It's all been virtual. And I think the pros of it is that you're now able to connect and build relationships with anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my network used to just be exclusively into Toronto and Montreal area, but now it extends as far as like, I have people in the United States. I have people in South America, in Africa, in Europe. You know, I know like I can fly to Atlanta, a place that I've never been in my life, and there'll be no less than 5 people trying to take me out for dinner. Amazing. Because like, you know, we have that relationship, we have that rapport, and that's the digital side of it. I think on the con side, bad internet.
That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing kills the flow of a conversation than your internet going out. Let me just knock on wood.
Yeah, for me, it's also my dog. Like, my dog will go absolutely crazy at whoever knocks on the door. If he has like this one dog that it's like his little enemy, we call that, as soon as he sees him walk down the street, he like will not stop barking. And I feel like at the beginning of the pandemic, he was like a puppy, so it was kind of cute, you know. It's like, haha, like, you have a puppy, it's a pandemic puppy. And now we're like 2 years into it, I'm like, okay, this is no longer cool. Like, we can't keep like stopping everything because my dog is barking.
Right.
But yeah, like with this, and I guess that has shown a little bit more of like a human side to everyone too, which I kind of see as a pro, because it's like we no longer have like the networking attire and like your business card on hand. It's more like you are a human who has a dog and has a baby in the other room, and that's okay, you know. So I feel like that also has been a pro, where we, I don't know, there's like no longer this networking persona that we have. It's more like, hey, this is me, and let's chat and let's connect. And even to that point, like there's a lot more things to connect because you're in each other's home, basically, which is crazy.
Yeah. There's a more human element to it. Cause you know, you talk about your dogs. I've had a lot of teammates that have children, right? Mm-hmm. Small children. And like, I'm growing used to it now, but it's not uncommon for like a kid to like storm, you know, in the middle of a meeting for a kid to just storm and just hop on their dad or their mom's lap, you know? And it's just like, you can't do anything. It's low key adorable as well. Like, or like crying babies as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think even like, I'm not a parent yet. And I think I look at it and I'm like, you know, it used to be this whole like almost fear of like, you know, when you have kids, that's going to like stop or put like a halt in your career. And I think the one thing the pandemic's taught us is that, you know, parenting comes in all different shapes, forms and sizes.
Yeah.
And as teammates, we got to like do what we can to support. And sometimes that means just like, you know, power through the baby crying, you know, and just say like, hey, it is what it is.
It's like more power to you that you're managing work plus like
the baby. Exactly. Yeah.
I had a candidate that I was interviewing, and we have like this 1 hour interview at Shopify. And she told me like before starting, like, hey, I'm so sorry, I have a sleeping baby in my arms. Like, she should be fine. And I was like, are you sure? Like, we can reschedule. Like, she's sleeping, I don't want to wake her up. And I was just like, wow, like that shows so much, I don't know, like more power to her, you know. Like, I'm like, that's amazing that you are confident to like tell me to like continue with the interview. And yeah, I feel like it's also like develops a lot of more empathy for people, because I'm like, wow, like I wasn't a mom by then, so I was just like, that's insane. And if you can do that, like, it's just so empowering to like what I can do when I'm a mom, you know. It's really cool.
A lot more vulnerability. I think people are just more comfortable being more vulnerable. And like, I don't know how, I don't know why, or, you know, maybe because of the pandemic, but I also noticed that a lot of people are more comfortable talking about mental health and going to therapy. Yeah. And it's kind of like coincided with that. And I've actually built a lot of relationships just being very transparent about my mental health struggles or my mental health journey in terms of like going to therapy. And, you know, for Black men, you know, there's used to be this stigma in our community around mm-hmm. going to therapists. So talking more about it has a lot of people to reach out to me and be like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting into therapy and I see you talking about it. You know, what's it like? Is it worth it? And these are strangers that you don't know, but like, when you find that emotional human connection, that's when you start really building that rapport and that relationship. And before you know it, you have somebody that you can add to your network that will, you know, vouch for you, that will fight for you, that will speak up for you, that will give you insights. And I think that is the most powerful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important too. And like, to be able to like talk about that, but then when you have someone who is just encouraging you and like wants to support you, I feel like that even like makes that relationship even deeper, because it's like, this person gets it and this person is like on my side and like is rooting for me, which, like you said, like this is a stranger on the internet who maybe you would have never heard about or heard from if hadn't you like shared what you're going through.
Exactly.
So, and going into, I guess, more into like the etiquette part of this, because obviously there's a lot more pros than cons to this, but how do you like to be approached? How do you approach others? Like, what are some of those like must do or like must have elements when you reach out to someone?
Yeah, I think at this point in my career, I'm the person that people like reach out to more. And I think that's because of the visibility I've tried to give myself on social media. But like back in the day, before I had that visibility, when I used to go and reach out to people, one of the first things I used to ask myself was, you know, if I was in this person's shoes that I'm about to message, what would I have to say in order for them to say to themselves, this person is going to make my life easier by talking to them, right? And a lot of times I find that in terms of etiquette, you know, when people, like I said, we talk about like rapport and relationship not being like a one-stop counter or like a one specific encounter, you know, it's weird when somebody like reaches out to you blindly and they already off top ask for a referral to your job.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's different. I'm a recruiter. So it's like, you know, like more power to it. Like, yeah, like I'll refer you. I think I have like over 200 referrals right now. Well, simple. But like, you know, for somebody that's not in that position or that's not a recruiter, maybe they're a product manager or a sales manager, you know, asking somebody to do a referral for you is a big ask because, you know, they're essentially putting their reputation on the line in their work environment where they feed their family for you. So that's a big ask. And that's why a lot of times those messages go unanswered by people. So I always try to like provide that little bit of value. And I always make sure that my ask is never too big. I actually made it a rule a couple of years ago to never ask somebody for a referral. If they offer, I'll accept it. But me asking, I would never, that's a bit presumptuous because like, you know, there's so much at stake to ask for that. So I always try to make my ask small or intentional, like, hey, I'm reaching out to you. Like if I'm reaching out to like, say a senior recruiter, for instance, cause I wanted recruitment insights, be like, hey, I'm reaching out to you right now, specifically because you've been in this space for X amount of years. I've seen the type of roles that you're recruiting for. You look like you're doing an amazing job. I'm at this point in my career where I'm trying to figure out if I should double down on the technology route or if I should, you know, look for more things outside of like the software developer to get a more, you know, interesting look at recruitment. Just out of curiosity, you know, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And then I also put like in PS, you know, let me know if there's anything I can help you with. If you have a role that you need more candidates for that you'd like broadcasted, I'm more than happy to share it. You see, like just a lot of value right off the top. So it's like, hey, they asked what I'm asking for is basically just their insight and nothing that could take more than like 5 minutes. Obviously a call might go on if you have good rapport, but like that's an easy ask. And then I also encourage them to like, let me know what I can do for them because this should be an equivalent exchange.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll be like, yo, here's the answer to your question. I don't need anything right now, but I appreciate you just putting that forefront. And I think that's what we should be doing for etiquette. You know, try to find where you can provide value for people and try to make their lives easier and, you know, put yourself in their shoes, have some empathy. You know, what would it take for you to answer a stranger hitting you up? You know, what kind of messages would you respond to? What wouldn't you do? And be informed that way.
That's actually like when I was looking to get into recruitment and I was like actively talking to people, I would always put myself in their shoes. Like what kind of message would I like to read if someone was reaching out to me? So that's a very good point. And I love how like your ask is, it's very specific. You know, it's like, this is my situation. I would love some insights. It's not like, hey, I'd love if you can help me as I transition to recruitment. It's like, help you how, help you when, what can I do? You know, like, I love that it's like a very specific ask and it's pretty easy. Like you said, like 5 minutes, I can like share my insights, but I've never actually added the like PS, if there's anything I can do to help. I love that so much. I really do because it's like you said, it's a relationship that is like in the beginning stages, right? Where it's not just take, take, take. It's like, I know I'm asking for something, but like, if there's anything I can do in exchange, like, please let me know. And I feel like that just shows that genuine part of like wanting to help. And yeah, I guess to switch gears now to as a recruiter, like what would you say is that recruiter etiquette? Because I feel like it's different and I'm sure that we'll agree on a lot of these parts too.
To reach out to a recruiter?
Like when someone reaches out to us as recruiters.
Yeah. I would say like, always have the link to the job that you want to reach out for.
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of people that reach out to me for Wealthsimple jobs. They're like, hey, I see you're hiring for a product manager. And I'm like, bro, what?
There's like which one?
Which one? There's like 17 different postings. That's not even my team. Like,
yeah,
you know, you don't obviously you don't know on the back end what recruiters were assigned to what, but like,
yeah,
have like starting off with a posting immediately gives you an idea of where to look. You know, and I always say, like, for recruiters, we're very easy to please. Just let us know that you're going to help us get more people. Like, tell me you're going to like help broadcast my post in your communities, or even if you like, you know, if you have a friend, for instance, right, that you know is looking and being like reaching out to a recruiter and be like, hey, I have a friend that's looking for a product manager role. This is their resume. I don't know if you're the right person for this, but, you know, is there any insights you could give? Or, you know, if this is someone that you're looking for, would you mind if I helped you get more people from my community or from my network that would be interested in that job and just send you their profiles, right? Recruiters, like, we desperately need people.
Yes, always. Right?
Yeah. So give me people and I'd be ecstatic to like to figure out what I can do for you, because like if you're a steady source of candidates,
yeah,
like I'm gonna treat you with the utmost respect, and I'm gonna kiss your ass in some cases because like, yeah, you know, it's hard to like connect with good people, and having like a soft intro into a candidate you might want to hire, it's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also like, for the etiquette part, I love how it's like, are you the right person for this role? I feel like a lot of times, a lot of the messages that I get are, hi, I applied to this role and here's my resume. And I'm like, you just gave me your entire life, you know? And it's like, what's the role? What can I do for you? Like, do you need resume help? Are you just sending it? Like, there's so much to unpack there. So yeah, like definitely. And honestly, I feel like a lot of the times it comes out of a place that they just don't know how else to approach a recruiter. And honestly, it's like, maybe like, hit, like, let me just try my luck and see if like, this is the right recruiter. But a lot of the times when I see like these messages accumulating that are like the exact same ask, I just freeze. Cause I'm like, okay, if I start answering now, I'm going to go into like a rabbit hole and spend like the next hour of like trying to figure out who's the right recruiter. And I'm guilty of this. And I honestly, it's like my toxic trait is that I leave messages unread and unanswered because I just like, I feel
there's very just so
overwhelmed.
Much.
Yeah.
So much.
And honestly, for the circumstances where like, I know the role, I know what you applied for, I know what team it is, then I would probably do more to help. But because there's like just so much to figure out that I'm like, I can't start, like, you know, I can't start right now because it's going to take me like a long time to figure it out. So no, I think just being very specific in your ask. And also, I feel like a lot of times, maybe looking for someone in that team might be a little bit more helpful than reaching out directly to the recruiter, because it shows a lot of initiative. If you're already like looking for, okay, who's the manager on that on that team, who's a coworker, they'll definitely have way more insights into the actual role itself, because we will have like a very high level, we'll understand it, we'll be like very comfortable talking about it. But I feel like someone that's doing the job and like is in the role would probably be like a better shot at understanding like, is this the right role for me? Which is like probably why you would reach out to recruiters when you were like looking to get into technical recruitment, because it's like very aligned. It's like it's a coworker or like potential coworker, you know, that will understand the role in and out.
Yeah, I would even encourage them to do both, like reach out to a recruiter and somebody on the hiring team. If you're doing via LinkedIn, like the recruiters are most likely to be on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And like some hiring managers have a weird relationship with LinkedIn. Sometimes some people treat it like Facebook. Some people treat it as something they only open up when they're going for a job. So it's like, true. You know, you got to maximize your chances. Another hack that I kind of learned when it comes to like networking online is like, when you want to connect with people at the very first, like try to over deliver on the value that you give them. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it'd be like, well, you know, what does that mean exactly? And I always explain to them, like, you know, look for people that you can mentor in life, you know, in career, because like, you know, a referral from an intern is still a referral in the company. Yeah.
It's so, like no less value who it's coming from.
No less value. Nope. I've gotten people jobs at Shopify because, you know, I had a connection at the as an intern who referred them to the team. Where interns have access to the referral links, right? The interns have access to, you know, the recruiters. They can tell you like where things are going. So like if you build up a real relationship with somebody, like, you know, by again offering to be there or offering to give them any insights that you may have, you know, if you're older than them, it doesn't always have to be a career. It could be about life. I speak with a lot of Black people, and like I speak with a lot of Black women in particular. And I always say, like, you know, if you're looking to mentor somebody, like look for other Black women and just like, you know, let them know, like, I've been in certain spaces that have been, you know, that have been negative or that have been toxic. If you ever want to talk, or if you want to learn how I navigate those spaces or what I would do in your situation, feel free to hit me up. Just something like that could go a long way, because like a lot of us feel lost without any support.
And that's so true. Like I'm Latina. So I feel like when someone that looks like me, talks like me, like reaches out and like offers help, I'd be like, wow, you know, and like that's value up front. And you're more likely to also like pay it forward, you know, because it's like this person, what they did meant so much to me in my career that I want to do that. You know, I want to be that person in others' life and careers. And it's like so much value up front that you never know what these doors can open to your next job, your next business partner. Like, honestly, like the opportunities are endless in that sense too.
Yeah. It's all about just getting like your name out there. Right? I like to think of it as like your reputation. You always want your reputation to precede you. I didn't really get what that meant until I started like networking online, and people would be like, oh, I know you're the job father. And it's like,
I love that title. It's so good.
I did not give it to myself.
We need to trademark it though.
You know what? I'm about to do that after this call. I should hop on that. But I had a friend give it to me, and then when I helped 100 Black people get jobs last year, my partner went out of her way to make like a custom trophy.
I love that.
Yeah, she's honestly the greatest. Oh my God, I got to give her the world.
That's amazing. And going into, we were talking a little bit about like reaching out to people like through LinkedIn. And for anyone who's listening and doesn't use LinkedIn to network, please, like, this is your sign. This is what you've been waiting for to start now. It's not only a tool when you're looking for a role. It's not only when it's there when you need it. I think it more opportunities come than you can even imagine when you're actively using LinkedIn. But touching on that, like, how do you find the right networking events to attend? Or maybe not just events, but how do you find, even opening that question a little bit more, the right people to reach out to?
So I'm a big believer of using multiple platforms to like look at communities, get insight. Like I actually prefer Twitter as opposed to LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is now like shifting towards more of like, you know, friendly social media, informal. Like I'm seeing more and more memes pop up on LinkedIn, which, you know, I'm all for, because it takes away the, you know, the stiffy air of professionalism.
Yeah.
But Twitter, I find, is where I built up most of my like connections and my networks that have all that bled over into LinkedIn. And the same with like Discord communities and Reddit communities as well. You know, people talk, people host events all the time. Twitter right now, there are several people in like the tech Twitter or Black tech Twitter space that hosts weekly spaces. Right. And you can go in, you can hear people talk, you can ask questions, you can put yourself on panels. And there are a lot of informal kind of grassroots networking events that you're not going to find on like the meetups, right? Or like the even like the LinkedIn groups, which is another thing too. LinkedIn groups is a good thing. Facebook groups are a good thing. In this day and age, you do yourself a disservice by limiting yourself to just one specific social media channel. At least I say have two or three, right? You don't have to go viral, but like you're able to like watch people, you're able to like see their content and engage with it. And that's the other thing too, when you're networking or trying to like network, you know, before you slide into somebody's DMs, you know, why don't you look at their posts and like their posts, right? Like their posts or comment on their posts, or even better, engage in discussion with them. All right. I always like, when I always like, as somebody that like gets that has like a couple thousand followers, I always know the people who are repeatedly liking my stuff and who are retweeting my stuff or who are engaging with me about my stuff, the formal professional stuff and the informal stuff. Like, you know, I talk about Raptors basketball. So like, I'll be going back and forth with people on like Raptor stats on who should be an all-star. And then when they slide into my DMs, they're not a stranger. You may have never had like a one-on-one conversation before, but I recognize you. And like, taking that unknown element away is like a big part of like the whole networking experience. So like, it's a social media platform. Use it as a social media platform.
Yeah. And I love that because I really don't think that we are meant or built to all like the same things, you know, like some people might love LinkedIn and they thrive on LinkedIn and that's amazing. But some people might like the shorter format of Twitter and like it's less professional. And like, it's, I think to have those options would benefit you too, because maybe you're not comfortable reaching out on LinkedIn, but like you are a huge like Twitter user. So it's like, oh, that feels way more comfortable for me and more like in my comfort zone to like reach out to someone, retweet, you know? And I think that that's a like great advice, because a lot of people are just so focused on LinkedIn, but it's not a match for their personality. So I think it'll be super helpful for people to know, like, yeah, go on Twitter, go on Instagram, like go on Facebook groups, like whatever it takes for you to at least like get comfortable with that medium of first, and then you can move on to the next, I think is super important. And it's so true what you said, like we always recognize people who like are commenting or liking our comments, and you already feel like you know this person. It's like you're like probably thinking, I'd love to go to a Raptors game with this person because he gets it, you know. And like it's some connections that you already have that you are like more comfortable having a conversation and more willing to help, and you are more invested in like wanting to, like maybe it's something with their career or their life, like you are already like a stakeholder in that success, you know.
Yeah. It's all about emotional investment. Like people are emotional. Well, we're emotional and we're egocentric beings. So like, you know, when you're networking, you know, always like, and the reason why when I did my little example, I specifically said, like, I see you've been doing X and you're doing a great job, is because you also want to apply to people's ego. Right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, it's legendary book. Honestly, I'm a big talker. I'm sure, you know, listening to this podcast, you get that. But one of my favorite chapters in there spoke about how to be a good conversationalist. And it was like, you can be a good conversationalist by saying as little as three words, as long as you are A, encouraging the person that you're talking to talk about themselves, and B, you're listening to what they're saying, right? And they'll walk away saying like, damn, That was a great conversation. Yeah, that was great. And all you said was, tell me more. What did you think about that?
Interesting. Tell me more.
How did you feel in that moment? Right. And it's just like people will talk and they'll tell you. And I think just also recognizing that nobody sees himself as the bad guy too. That Al Capone, you know, Al Capone said like he can't understand why people see him as a bad guy, despite the fact that like he was Al Capone. and it's like recognize that like, people don't want to see themselves as a bad guy too. So like, you know, when we're asking for things in our messages, people will feel bad if they can't deliver. So that's why we want to be intentional. That's why we want to like make the ask as small as possible, right? And to make sure that A, they remember us, they communicate with us, and then like we can go back and talk to them again and they won't feel away because they recognize us and they know that, you know, we're not gonna ask them anything too major. Understanding people and our behaviors and our ego will go a long way to how you network.
Yeah. We have a lot of students who are always like, what can I like add value? Like, what can I say to this person? And a lot of times I have to stop them. I'm like, people love talking about themselves. Like, stop thinking that you always have to do the give. Like people, if you give them a chance and if you like allow them, they will continue talking and they will talk about themselves, how they got there. You just need to like be writing mental notes, like take mental notes of what they're saying, because you're going to have so much valuable advice just by what it took for them to get to where they are.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you know, I'm at this weird point in my career, or I'm at a new point in my career, and I'm looking for people to connect. I came across your profile. What you've been doing looks so impressive. You know, do you mind taking 5 minutes to just tell me a little bit about yourself and, you know, what are some of the lessons, some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your career? You know, let me know if you're open to even meet someone. And another recruiter said this to me that I thought was a great idea. She was like, offer to buy somebody a coffee, you know, ask like, hey, can I send you a Starbucks gift card just as a $5 to buy you a coffee just to say thank you. And like, some people will deny it, some people will accept it, but like, that is something where you're like, damn, like, nobody's really done that for me before. Sure, I'll talk to you. Like, yeah, you bought me a coffee once. Or like, I have people all the time, like I do career coaching sessions, right? So like sometimes it's not uncommon for people to buy sessions for me.
Yeah.
And then we're having the conversation, I'll give them a refund because I'm like, you know, this, you know, you just wanted to talk to me about me. And like, I'm cool with that, but like, that's not a real session. So like, here, take your money back. And then like next time they message me, you know, I know them. Like,
yeah.
I know them. I know that they're good people and I like talking to them because they made me talk about myself.
I love that. Well, I don't want to keep you much longer, but I want to maybe just close this up with maybe like one piece of advice that you would give to anyone who's too afraid to reach out to someone and to start networking online.
Be yourself and be vulnerable. If you're afraid to reach out to somebody, actually like reach out to them and be like, hey, I'm actually terrified to do this, but you're such an interesting person. And I thought I'd take the chance. Never done this before, and then you give your ask, right? Like people, I think we underestimate how powerful vulnerability is, because at some point in time, we've all been vulnerable. We know what it's like to have the odds stacked up against us. It's a human thing. So, you know, when you open up with vulnerability, people will be vulnerable right back with you. And of course, you don't want to like trauma or emotionally dump on them, but you want to let them know that you're in a place that of uncertainty. And like, you're hoping that talking to them will at least shed a little bit of light on what you could do next. And in the worst case scenario, like, you still appreciate them taking the time out their schedule to link up with you.
I love that so much. Like, be yourself, be vulnerable. And with that, just like, being grateful when someone gives you that time, right? Just like showing genuine appreciation. I think those are three perfect elements to start reaching out to someone and do it in a way that feels genuine to you.
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah. Jermaine. Thank you so much for this conversation. I really enjoyed it. And I know that a lot of people will learn so much and take so much of this into their own lives and careers.
Thank you for having me, and all the best to everyone that's listening here. This is a great program. You made the right decision, and it's going to help you along your career, I promise you.
Awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Building Your Dream Career. If you got some value out of this, feel free to share it with someone that might need it, or you can leave a 5-star rating on the podcast. Visit the3skills.com for free resources to help you build your dream career. See you next time.